We just grabbed a full bag of gas, meaning fuel, and we're coming back to reposition the aircraft at our line, where the hangar is, where we parked the aircraft. And we're coming in for this landing zone, which is just on the edge of the water. Okay, it's 11 o'clock at night, goggles. And I recognize, hey, we're not on track for the same typical pattern that we typically fly. So I'm like, hey man, power. So I call for power, meaning, hey, bring in some power. Let's get us on glide slope to land. I didn't recognize what he was going through already.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Hayden Outbound Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Tyler.
Shane, why don't you introduce Tyler to everybody?
So Mr. Tyler is a friend that we've met through my wife, right? So my wife and your wife went to school together.
Yep.
And I was sitting on the couch one night and Sarah was giggling. And I said, what's so funny? She said, well, I had a friend of mine reach out to me and said that her husband is a big fan of the show. And he's a former Cobra pilot. And I was almost automatically said, sure, we need to have him on right then, right? But I said, hey, see if he'll be on the show. So my wife texts your wife and said, hey, they're interested in you being on the show. And your wife said, these were her words, not mine, are you sure you want Tyler on the show? Because he's a lot.
Yeah.
I said, hey, buddy. We're into a lot. Have you seen some of our guests? They're a lot, right? So here he is, all the way from Phoenix. No, Phoenix, Arizona?
Scottsdale, Phoenix.
Scottsdale.
Yeah, Arizona.
A place warmer, less humid than here.
Right. Yeah.
But still warmer.
Yeah.
So thanks for being with us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. I saw a bunch of your stories, and I love the ethos. Hey, can my kids watch this show?
Yes.
And I dig the hey. Come over here and talk to me like a man.
The watermelon patch.
Yeah. Bringing us back to episode with Bradley and Johnny there.
It's a hoot, man. Yeah.
So today, here's what you're in store for. You can sit back and relax. He mentioned Marine, Cobra pilot. I said, hey, that's checked. The box is checked. Move forward. So he's going to share with us some of those tales from those days serving our country as a Marine Cobra pilot. So we got some of those. So just take us, but it didn't start there. You weren't born in the cab of a Cobra.
Right.
So where did the dream start?
So I think many kids have dreams that start in many different ages. But for me, it was in San Diego, sunny Southern California.
Yeah.
And I was flying my kite, just a kid out there on the peninsula. And I heard a noise. All right. You know, it's not your typical noise of like a doorbell or like the television, right? Yeah. You hear that, right? So instantly triggered. And all of a sudden I look up and there's this black helicopter flying over the water. And for me as a kid, I can't tell you how old I was, but I got to tell you, when I saw that thing overhead, maybe 300 feet, I thought to myself, oh my gosh, somebody is up there doing that.
Yeah.
Like somebody is in that aircraft right now flying over this and they're looking down at me, seeing me from a whole different lens. And I was hooked, man. So that's when the dream was started. So I carried that with me for many years, right? It was always on the forefront of my mind, regardless of what I was doing. Aviation, I was hooked. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of other kids too.
Absolutely.
Have a dream, right?
Yeah.
You know, when they're growing up, there's something that's triggered that they're like, man, if I could only be that athlete, or if I could only, you know, be a vet, or if I could be a doctor, or if I could be that police officer or that fireman running into a, you know, burning building. So that for me was.
That was your dream.
That was it, man.
That's a really, hey, if I was going to pick one, that's a good one to pick.
It's a good one.
Yeah. So I fast forwarded, 20 years and I was a troublemaker. All right. Typical kid, maybe not so typical, pushed the limits a lot, got in a lot of trouble, a lot of adversity. Went to a few different high schools. I like to say that, I like to make friends.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's put it that way. Yeah.
For whatever reason, I was making a lot of friends.
So I was fast forward to 2007 and that's where real life school started. And I'm in Northern Arizona University, northern Flagstaff, where there's snow. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I am sitting there. I had just lost my license for the second time. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of you guys.
Number two.
Yeah. Dose, man. Dose. I got to learn some lessons the hard way.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of other people can resonate with that. Slow learner. All right. And, 7 degrees outside and I got to put on a business suit. I got to hop on my Huffy and there's snow on the ground. So I got to ride to school mm-hmm. and present to whatever class. It just doesn't even ring a bell. All long story short is what am I doing? Mm. I'm going to school. I'm paying for college, but you didn't teach me how to buy a house, how to buy a car, how to write that business plan, mm-hmm. how to set up a podcast studio. You know what I mean? Whatever it was back then, they didn't teach me how to do it.
What am I doing? Yeah.
What am I doing?
Good question.
Yeah. So Realize School was started in 2007 in my brain. And I built a couple of topics and had a couple of conversations with some people in Phoenix, wrote an email to the CEO of University of Phoenix. And I just spilled the beans. Mm-hmm. And, at that point, 2007 PowerPoints, I know not many people are.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was the way to deliver information back then.
That was it.
Right? And and now I think a lot of companies are doing the same thing, and they wonder why people are like,
just brain dead staring at them. Like, right. What's going on?
So long story short, yes, PowerPoint format, but I spilled the beans. 2 weeks later, my idea rolls out online.
Somebody has.
But not from you.
Not from me. It wasn't for me. So, two things. One, I was crushed. As any young kid, I was 20 at the time, you know, somebody took my idea. But then the other thing was, hey, it must have been a good idea, right?
Yeah.
The positives must have been a good enough idea for somebody else to roll it out, whether the timeline, whether it was on purpose or not, but I had to grow up. So one of the topics of the 20 was how to land your dream job. And at that moment, I was focused on, like many other people, where they're like chasing a paycheck, chasing the dollar, trying to, you know, make a bazillion bucks. But I went back to how to land my dream job. So to tie it in, I went back to being a kid and was like, I remembered that moment mm-hmm. when I heard that helicopter and I was thinking somebody's doing it. And you know what? At that moment, I was all in.
I'm going to do it.
I'm going to be the one flying that helicopter. Mm-hmm. So took me 2 years to get in. Meanwhile, I had some adversity with some people that, like I said, I had to learn a lot of lessons the hard way, right?
Absolutely.
that were like, hey, they're not going to take somebody like you. But 2 years later, I had been a repo man. I'd been a bellman. I had to lie to get my master's. I had to lie to get the job as a bellman at the JW Marriott. Love you guys. I'm a Marriott guy, by the way. Not a paid sponsor, but I'm a Marriott guy.
Hey, thanks for giving me a chance, even though I lied to you.
Yeah. So at that point, it was 2008, and you know the markets were rough back then.
Oh, sure, man, I remember that.
Right? A lot of lives changed. And including my own, I'm thinking, how am I going to eat? Right. I was living in a warehouse, couldn't afford to put the electricity on. So I was rolled the warehouse door open and I slept on the ground to get the cool air in the middle of the summer in Arizona. I mean, it was a story, man. But I was like, hey, I need a job. So I was a high school graduate. Didn't tell them about the master's degree, a little overqualified because I already tried to get hired multiple places, but they hired me. Fast forward. I finally got my dream. I got picked up in 2011, January 7th, 2011 to leave for the Marine Corps. And it was years in the making. I mean, I literally put off everything to chase this dream. And, I get there in good old Quantico, Virginia. And I have 104 degree temperature. I have bronchitis, E. coli. I was throwing up in my sleep. Sorry, guys, girls. It was rough.
Yeah.
We make it through it. Get to flight school, do all the flight school stuff, and finally get the opportunity to fly a gray AH-1 Whiskey Cobra, a Super Cobra, man. And they say, where do you want to live? Well, I did pretty good in flight school. And they said, well, be careful what you choose, right? Be careful what you ask for. Because normally a military doesn't give you the opportunity to say, hey, Tyler, what would you really like?
Right.
In this situation, I got to choose. And the CEO is like, dude, you did well.
Okay.
So you're going to get the chance. So flying Cobras in Hawaii.
Nice.
I mean,
Why not?
Good pick. Yeah.
You mean you're going to pay me to live and fly in Hawaii? Dude.
I'm in.
Let's do it.
Who's not in?
Yeah. So I'm living the dream, dude. Mm-hmm. I'm in my young 20s, mid 20s. I was like
20. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, man.
Right online.
It was a gift, man. And it full circle from where I was as a kid to now being the dude up there. It was incredible. But
if you're in the market for a new house, I want to tell you about our latest sponsor, Vantage Plus. So they're general contractors. They specialize in new home construction, but also they do some dirt moving work. So clearing land, making roads. Y'all check them out. We'll make sure that we link the website and the phone number in the show notes.
January 25th, 2017. We were in a catastrophic helicopter crash. Mm. There was a catastrophic mechanical failure, which means we couldn't auto-rotate. So for, you know, that non-aviation people, okay, picture flying an aircraft, a big commercial liner. You're at 40,000 feet, you're cruising, you got your Sprite and you're laid back and a wing comes off.
Okay. Bad day.
We got problems.
Changes got problems. The scenario.
We got problems.
Just a little bit, right? You can't land. It's a catastrophic failure. You can't land. You can't fly.
I'm not worried about Sprite anymore.
No. Checking your pants.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what happened was we couldn't auto-rotate. We came in. It was nighttime. We were on night vision goggles. And normal profile, right? You train, and our military is awesome. We do the same thing over and over and over and over again. So we just grabbed a full bag of gas, meaning fuel, and we're coming back to reposition the aircraft at our line where the hangar is, where we parked the aircraft. And we're coming in for this landing zone, which is just on the edge of the water. Okay. It's 11 o'clock at night, goggles. And I recognize, hey, we're not on track for the same typical pattern that we typically fly. So I'm like, hey man, power. So I call for power, meaning, hey, bring in some power. Let's get us on glide slope to land. I didn't recognize what he was going through already. Second challenge. And this was in a span of like 15 seconds. Okay. 15 seconds. We're coming in.
Second challenge.
Right.
I ain't even overcome the first one yet.
Right. And I didn't recognize, there was no input. There was no change in anything. So the second time I said, hey, power. And I said, power, power, power. And then I took controls and I'm sitting front seat and this guy's senior to me. Right. So I recognized there was an issue. I tried to rectify the issue. And then the next thing I know, I hear him say, no, no, no. With such authority at that point, I was like, okay, he must know something I don't.
Mm-hmm.
So totally humble, I let go of controls and I start saying my prayers. Flash. Well, I'm waiting for the warmth of the jet fuel. Helicopter crashes, if you haven't seen Hollywood films, they don't end well.
No.
You know?
There is nothing I've ever seen that helicopter and crash ever ended well.
They're all bad. Mm-hmm. All right. And they're all in all reality, they're all that bad. So I let go of controls. He nosed over the aircraft and we made the land by like 6 feet. We slid about 200, 300 feet. We came down, we were at 300 feet altitude. We had 800 feet per minute rate of descent, meaning we're falling at 800 feet per minute and we're only at 300 feet. So it's like, you can do the math.
It's 15 seconds.
It's quick. So we hit and I'm accepting it and I'm waiting for it and the aircraft bounces. Okay. We hit, we rip off the aft skid, aft portion of the right skid and we bounce. And I was mentally checked out. Right. That moment. I don't know if you guys have experienced it, but it's like, okay,
never
game over.
Never experienced anything like that.
It's it. Take me home. Right. Mm. First bounce. We hit the second bounce. We're still kind of flying because we're skipping. The second bounce is when like my lights came back on. I mentally came back on. I was like, oh, wow, Tyler, you're not dead. You know, you're not crispy. Right. And that's when we start to settle and we're sliding. And I can only imagine what he's going through back there. We've tried to circle back but at the end of the day, we're like, thank you. hugs, things. But we're sliding, and I see a curb coming up because it's kind of, we're in a World War II hangar on Kaneohe Bay. So it's, everything was still shot up from, you know, Pearl Harbor, and how they built the base is kind of old and janky, and they're renovating it. But there was a, it used to be a parking lot. So there's a curb there. And I see this curb, and I'm thinking, well, we just survived the crash.
I'm going to get hit. And I got to hit a curb.
Now we're going to hit this curb, and this aircraft is going to roll over.
Not good.
Not good. So I hop on controls again. All right. I'm like, I see something. He doesn't see it. I don't know if it was his fault, my fault, but we're breathing. Now let me hop back on. So we had tail rotor authority, meaning, you know, the pedals, I can move the tail. And I steer us, because we still got forward momentum, and I steer us away. We missed by like a foot. I mean, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. That was a wake-up call for me. I'm living my dream. I understand that life is precious. Meanwhile, we'd lost, you know, 12 people in one crash on the North Shore, a couple of buddies in a crash in Nepal, you know. And
so,
I mean...
So now... You've completely changed your perspective.
Everything's changed. I didn't recognize how fragile I really was. I mean, I thought I was bulletproof, man.
We went from 10 feet tall and bulletproof to almost a foot from hitting a curb and leaving this place.
It's crazy. And we didn't know why. Aircraft looked good. The gauges were good. Everything sounded fine. But it was just a mechanical failure where the collective had separated from the mast. Mm. So you couldn't auto-rotate. It was a miracle. It's crazy.
Now, what is auto-rotate?
Auto-rotate means that in a helicopter, you can't glide. So you're going to use your altitude, how high you are, with some forward airspeed, and you're going to get the air through your propellers, right? You're going to get it through the rotor on the top. So picture a spinning hat. You know how you got the hat and it spins? Mm-hmm. So the faster you're falling, the more that rotor spins. So when you come into whatever aircraft you're in, there's an altitude which you will rock, pause, and then pull one last cushion, kind of like in an airplane when you're just coming in.
Give it a little.
Exactly. And then you settle in and you glide it on. That's called an auto rotation. So if you lose your engine in the helicopter, you just use that altitude and your airspeed, keep the turns at 100%. So when you get to that 100 foot, 120 foot, you rock it forward, you pause, and then you start to feather in that last pull.
Okay.
So you glide it on. So that's essentially what we did, but we didn't have any collective authority. He literally just pushed it over to make the land. It crashed. It was crazy. So I went into the simulator and tried to do that 100 times. Every time was a red screen. Zero chance of survival. Like zero chance of survival.
So maybe there was a higher authority over here.
100%. So I started thinking, all right, I'd had the bends before where I was scuba diving accident, had a nitrogen bubble, split my heart, shut my brain down. The guy next to me in the hospital bed in Hawaii who was free diving, he died. And I'd just getting these wake up calls. Something was saying, hey, you're not bulletproof. You know, you're just not. But, you know, you get another chance. Hopefully you fix it.
Yeah, maybe wake up this time.
Yeah, wake up. Figure it out, right? So helicopter crash. I'm living the dream. And now we get orders to North Carolina, do another combat tour and in the Middle East. And, it was a wild, wild tour.
Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not. But just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services, or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show.
Another time where the man above was telling me, hey, I'm watching you. Mm-hmm. You're coming in for landing. It's nighttime, fully loaded, and bad weather. Goggles. There's no moon. So
this was when you were in Japan.
This was on the coast of,
that's right.
Libya. We were in Tunisia or Libya. We were off the coast of Libya and, we're doing bounces and it's dark,
what's
right?
A bounce?
A bounce is, we're coming in on a boat on one of the big ships, touching down, picking back up and doing a circle.
Okay.
Practice, right? Same habit pattern. Every profile is the same. So when you're tired, you're fatigued.
It's muscle memory.
Exactly. Right. It's like using your blinker.
Okay.
When you turn in a car. So most people don't use them these days. Probably practice that.
Yeah. Yeah. Use your blinkers. Muscle memory.
Muscle memory. And the girl that I'm flying with, we'd done one pass and I saw that the ground speed was getting below the threshold to be accurate. Meaning anything below 45 knots, there's not enough air coming through the pitot tube to show how accurate our forward airspeed is. And then the GPS is also, you know, you're trying not to scan, you're looking outside, you're scanning, you're looking outside. So I'm like, hey, you need forward airspeed. So we come back around second time. And I kind of knew she was going to do it. I see ground speed go from 45 knots to zero ground speed, meaning we aren't going forward anymore. All right.
Possibly going backwards.
Exactly. And then all of a sudden I feel the seat of my pants and we start sliding back on the tail. All right. And we're at 80 feet
coming in
over the water, nighttime goggles, bad weather. There's no moon. So to paint the picture, everybody knows a full moon. It's beautiful. It's like daytime. Throw goggles on, by the way, one of the sponsors. Awesome.
Yeah.
The goggles.
They got the thermal goggles.
They got the thermal and all stuff. Yeah. Nighttime, full moon, it's like daylight. Now you take out the moon, you could still see. This is dark. Mm-hmm. There's no ambient light. There's no city around. We're 25 miles off the coast. You can't even see all the lights. So she puts me on the tail and I don't know how we scooped it up. I don't know if the tail hit the water. But that was the hardest flight of my life. And to tie this all around on you know, the mishaps and the helicopters, that aviation is dangerous. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no secret that you look around and you see something in the news, right?
Mm-hmm.
To paint it even more is that I even do a walk around in my car. Before I get in the car with my kids or just me, I'll look at the tires. I'll turn the car on. I'll look for any lights. Master cautions or anything like that, kind of tie it into the aviation stuff. I mean, it is aviation is inherently dangerous. All right. And it's the same in a car.
Yeah.
And we kind of take it for granted.
Yeah.
That's right? For sure.
Yeah. And you got people that aren't pilots, aren't trained with that muscle memory. You know, they're sitting there on social media watching the stuff. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, you're not trained to do that. You just quickly glance at it, but yet you see them swerve in and out of the lanes.
Oh yeah.
Right.
And almost, you know, I did it last week. Yeah. I'm guilty. I mean, I was not proud of it.
Faded into the right lane.
With 2 seconds. Well, whichever side you're looking, that's where you're fading.
Right.
If you're looking right, that farm will follow it over, but you learn it. But where did you learn that lesson for the checks? You shared this with us and I want them to hear it.
The lesson.
So this was, you and a young guy.
Okay. So another story, fresh out of flight school, I just got my wings and now they pair you up with somebody else that's kind of about to do their solo. Okay. So we're bombing from Pensacola to, I think, Tallahassee. Okay. We're coming back. We just grabbed some food and we grabbed some gas and we're running the beach line. And all of a sudden the back door unlatches and it's just us. There's no instructors. Yeah. I got my wings. But just like a 16-year-old doesn't make you a professional race car driver, right?
No.
The door opens and he freaks. Now, I didn't know what, I just knew, I didn't know what, how to react other than this is not normal. Been flying.
Abnormal situation currently here. The door usually doesn't come open.
You shut the door, it doesn't open, right?
What do we do with this?
I'm thinking, well, clearly the guy shut the door, duh. That's why we do walk-arounds.
Yeah.
Apparently he didn't shut the door hard enough. Mm-hmm. So I get on with center and I'm like, listen, I'm declaring emergency here. Not a huge deal, but my back door just opened. By the way, helicopter, when the door comes off, hits a tail rotor, it's like game over. Okay. So for your essay, I don't know whose field this is, but I'm going to put it down in this field and then I'll report back up when I'm complete. I'll shut the door. Everything will be fine. So I took it as a teaching moment. So I'm like, hey man, you're going to take this down. Of course I'm riding the controls, but it was his door he left open. It's his door to fix, right? I'm not worried about it.
You know what I mean? I'm just glad you had the opportunity to also fix this one. Hey buddy, you fixed the door that you left open.
Right. It was kind of my teaching was like, listen, it's your side tail rotor. I'm not panicked. I know this is bad, right? And I know what it could really be bad, but gauges are good. As long as you keep enough forward airspeed on it, that door will tuck up right against the fuselage. Nobody taught me that. That wasn't like an emergency that you had to take a test. Mm. It was just like common sense. Keep forward airspeed on it. Door doesn't come off and we're good. And we'll take it nice, controlled down to the grass. Easy day. So I keep him on controls. I'm feathering it. I'm like, hey, keep forward airspeed. Cause I'm also checking the door. Mm-hmm. When the door gets out of hand, hey, more forward airspeed, right? Keep that door closed. Mm-hmm. So then finally he sets it down on the grass. I'm like, well, you're going to get out. I think I got him to get out, shut the door. Then I got out and I checked it. Mm-hmm. It's like pain in both of us. We're going to figure it out together. Cause one, I don't trust you. And two, we're going to,
well, I have lost your trust.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or man. You have lost my trust. That's a better way.
Right. Right. So that was a takeaway, is always do a walk around.
Take the time.
Yeah. Whether it's aviation or whether it's driving a car, like you never know when a tire is going to blow out. And had you just done a walk around to check, hey, that thing's low. You know, maybe there's something in the tire. Who knows?
Save a life. I don't know. You obviously probably can't hear the vehicles passing in the background, but there's vehicles passing down the road. And at any given moment, you know, you're 5 feet away from a tremendous disaster.
Yes. It might roll crash right here. You never know.
You never know.
When it's your time.
And a lot of that comes from people just not being vigilant with just taking a little time, checking a few things out, making sure the tires air it up, staying off your phone.
Yeah. Just do a quick walk around. You know, you don't recognize how precious things are until health and your fitness starts getting stripped from you.
So you had some wake up calls and you were telling us you had some adversity that come up in the military and you decided, wait a second, let's kind of reevaluate where we're at here.
Yeah. So we moved to North Carolina and then we get orders without being told, hey, you're going to DC. Now I just wanted to fly. Okay. Every aviator wants to fly. Every grunt wants to do grunt things. Every, you know, farmer wants to farm. I'm assuming, mm-hmm. right? You pick something you love and you just do it.
Podcaster wants to podcast.
That's it. Maybe that's it. Yeah. So taken from the cockpit, got to go to DC. Okay. In 2020, you guys are aware there was a lot of adversity going on. Okay. And the military was faced with some tough decisions. Mm-hmm. Okay. There was some white letters that came out and, you know, you had to do X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. So I was sitting there with my wife and I'm thinking, all right, is it time to go back to not the first dream, because aviation was the first dream, but the second dream, when I was sitting there, had to ride my bicycle in the snow, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Am I going to go back to real life school and start this thing? I'm seeing that there's some issues going on in this country that we love so much,
yeah.
right? And education was part of it,
right.
All right? And not to mention like the adversity, like I said, inside the military, I'm thinking, something came to me. Somebody said this quote, and it's nothing major or anything, but this just fit for me. Sometimes people outgrow their environment. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, okay, is this the time for me to make a move?
Have I outgrown?
That's right. So my wife and I were talking about having a second child. There's a lot of benefits in the military. And there was a deadline for what needed to take place. And we were talking, she goes, listen, if you're going to start this dream, starting this company, and we're not going to have a baby again. Makes sense, right? Fresh start, finances, moving, a lot of transition stuff. A lot of
stress.
Yeah. Not to mention we weren't going to be staying in DC. We were going to move back home. Mm-hmm. Finances, home, place to live. And I went for a run. All right. And I'm up against a deadline for certain things. Mm-hmm. And the night prior, Hannah talks to me and says, nope, not going to do it. I'm like, okay, am I supposed to play by the book on this? So I'm running from Alexandria to our house in Mount Vernon on George Washington's place, and about mile 8, right in the northern portion of his farm there. I'm praying, man. I'm like, Lord, I need you to tell me what to do, because I don't have any idea what I'm mm-hmm. supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And no kidding. I mean, I'm mad. I've been doing it for 8 miles prior and I'm getting nothing. And I'm
mad too if I was running for 8 miles.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it was prior to 3 knee surgeries, yeah. by the way, back when I could run. But I said it out loud. I need you to tell me what to do, Lord. And within 2 strides, there was a blue pacifier sitting in the middle of this trail.
Need an answer. Here it is.
Here it is. And I just talked to my wife. We wanted to expand our family, grow a family, like the important things.
Right.
Right. And I just laughed out loud. That was my answer. Do whatever you need to do, or else you'll be faced with a general court martial. I'm not going to do that. Okay. You've given me my answer. That's where we're going. I come home. I tell my wife, you're not going to believe this. She goes, well, I bet you I will.
You'd be surprised at what I'd believe coming out of your mouth.
That's right. That's right. And I tell her the blue pacifier story, and she goes, the pacifier was blue. And I was like, wait a second. Cause I thought I was a bad guy and I'm going to have girls my whole life. Cause yeah. Punishment, right? Yeah. You've been real bad.
Truth. Just the truth.
Just the truth. Yeah. So I didn't even resonate with the blue pacifier, but November 28th was the deadline. Okay. After this run, she tells me she's pregnant 2 weeks later. On November 28th is when she comes flying down the stairs and tells me the news that it's a boy.
Wow.
Let me tell you, if that ain't divine, I don't know what is. I got helicopter crashes. I got all these crazy stories. I lost a lot of buddies. And it was just the perfect timing. Mm-hmm. Okay. And now it brought me into the next phase. What is our next step? Okay. It ain't about us anymore. When you're a dad, mm-hmm. it's like, how am I going to teach my son how to be a man, mm-hmm. a man? How am I going to teach him to be, you know, respectful? How am I going to teach him these manners?
Dignity.
You know, a man is only as good as his word.
Right.
So all these emotions and stuff were coming up, and I was going back to the helicopter crash and all this stuff. I'm thinking, this is probably time. It's probably time to give back. It's probably time to do what we need to do. Mm-hmm. So we exited, and it started real life school. So all those things that school doesn't teach, that is what we do. We're taking mentors, people that have been there and done it, and teaching them life skills, money and real estate and life, and taught by somebody that's doing it. No more taking financial advice from somebody that's broke. Mm.
That's always a good piece of advice there.
Right.
Make sure you check someone's track record before you take it and apply it.
Right. Right. It's a tool, right? Mm. Everybody's trying to chase a dollar, but they're not really sitting back and saying, I only got so much time left. Mm. What do I really want to do with it? I'm going to be a dad. I'm going to be a good husband. And I'm going to try and make this place better than it was given to me.
Yeah.
So that's where the second dream came into play.
And I think that's why we resonate so much with you, and maybe why you resonated with us is we have those same desires, you know. And Philip and I've talked several times about why do we want to do this? And a lot of it, when we talk to somebody about coming on and telling their story, man, just do it. If nothing else, for your kids to be able to watch one day, to be able to dad tell that story that they loved hearing, but you know, maybe it would only have been in their memory, but now they can sit down and listen to you actually tell the story again. Your grandkids will be able to hear it. And that's what's so cool. Just be able to tell your story. And you had mentioned something about earlier about journaling and where you learned that.
Yeah. So we all have distinct moments in your life, like that make you grow, whether it's a good event or a bad event, but it's an event. I read this book called The Last Lecture. And if any takeaway, just please listen to this. It was a man that had 3 months to live, 3 or 6 months to live, and it had terminal cancer. His kids were young. He had lived his dream as working with Disney, and it was just his passion. And he thought, I only have so much time and my kids will not know who I am. Mm-hmm. So as a kid, when I read this, I was still in college, roughly about that time, 2007, I began journaling, writing down all the good, all the bad, the highs, the lows, all of it. So if something happens to me, at least my kids will know the good, the bad, the ugly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even today, podcast with you guys.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, it will be a journal injury.
Yeah, you will. And it's because you don't know when your time's up.
Right.
Wouldn't you wish you could go back and talk to your grandparents about that when they were 35, 40 years old?
Absolutely.
Right? Can you imagine the stories that they had?
Lessons they learned.
Right. The friends that they had, the lessons, the loss of life, all those things that teach us, hey, this is precious.
Not even just teach, but make you who you are.
Right. Mm-hmm. This is why you are the way you are.
This is why. And if you really, as you grow, being able to look back at some of those, I can see how important it is to look back and say, man, I can't believe that I was here and now I'm here.
Right.
Never saw myself getting from out of that point because it was so traumatizing or there's so much mm-hmm. that happened to me in that situation. Yeah. But thank the Lord.
Yes.
He gave me some opportunity or put some right people in my path. And even in those journal entries, you'll be able to look back and see, oh, that's why I met Philip that day. Yep. That's why I met Tyler. And right. we had a podcast that day. All those things, because we know what the scripture says, mm-hmm. all that God is working good things mm-hmm. for those that love him, right?
Romans 8:28, all things for good.
All things are working for good for him.
So, yeah.
It's really, really, really good stuff.
Yeah.
Tyler, what's the most memorable thing in your military career that you saw?
Okay. There was a time where I got the opportunity to fly through Pearl Harbor. Okay. It was at sunset and I'll never forget it. I had the ability to see a rainbow full circle. Mm-hmm. All right. Rainbow's special thing, right? But I saw a full circle rainbow looking down. And most people, you can't see it because you're sitting on the ground, right? Mm-hmm. It's half circle, mm-hmm. right? But I finally look down and I see this full, beautiful rainbow.
God's perspective.
Circle. That's right. And not to mention, we just requested to transition through Pearl Harbor's airspace. And I'd never done this before. I was with an incredible pilot. Flew for Marine One, call sign Auburn. All right. Sorry, Alabama. Yeah,
no, Tide. No, okay. Go Blazers.
Yeah, he's from Alabama. He's probably going to watch this and laugh and listen. And next thing I know, we're coming down 200 feet through the West Lock at sunset with the USS Arizona. And I was in my young 20s and I'm thinking, this is something that you don't even see on television. Mm-hmm. And I'm living in Hawaii. I'm flying a gray attack helicopter and I get to go at sunset through Pearl Harbor at 100 feet. Mm-hmm. It was That's just awesome. Incredible. It was like, pinch me. So we go through West Lock, see all the old boats and come up north and south around the Arizona Memorial and then out and shoot us out along Waikiki to Diamond Head, 100 feet and below. I mean, it's just an incredible moment.
Hmm. I'm going to tell you, you and one more person would make two that I've ever heard been able to do that. You were the only person I've ever known.
Absolutely.
And probably the only person I will ever know that was able to do that. That's really, really cool.
I got comfortable with it, obviously hooked, right? If you could do it once, let's do it again.
Do it again. One time's good. Second time's got to be better.
Exactly. So for the next year, if I had, 30 minutes of downtime, mm-hmm. I would go take some of the junior guys and we go bomb Pearl Harbor. Yeah. Like we go bombing through Pearl Harbor, 100 feet and below. And slow it up right around the Arizona and the Missouri.
Man.
And then shoot you out right at Waikiki. And it was just a really cool moment for me.
That is really
cool. And you probably don't know how many times they've told the story that you allowed them to have.
Right.
Man, I was flying with a senior instructor.
Yeah, man. Bombing through Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
Oh, man, we're 100 feet, 50 feet. Oh, man.
I got to see a rainbow from a full circle rainbow.
Yeah, man. Dodging birds and stuff. Oh, whoa.
That's really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yes. Never know what you're going to see at the beginning of the day.
Yeah.
Well, Todd, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show today. When Shane told me Cobra helicopter pilot, I said, oh, man, yeah. I know there's got to be some great stories there. And you've shared you probably just scratched the surface, but you put me up there in the air. And I cannot imagine, as you've walked through those, my favorite one is thinking about being in total dark and slide that helicopter going backwards. In first into the ocean. And, once those things hit the water, that thing would have just disintegrated. Man, I just hung on to that.
I like how he put it. I felt it in my pants. Seat of my pants.
Yeah. As I headed backwards.
Yeah, man.
I felt it in the seat of my pants.
But, and then kind of a side effect was learning about your new company. Yeah. And, you talk about journaling, you're talking about dreams. And you could be in all kinds of places and maybe you're watching this show for a reason today. Maybe you feel stuck or maybe you feel there's something else, or you have that dream. When he said that, you said, well, his was a helicopter, and your dream popped up. Yep. And you thought, that's my dream. Well, maybe you're watching this for a reason. Maybe Tyler can help you. And we're going to put the link to how you can get in touch with Tyler in the show notes. Let me tell you something. Now, this is a fact.
He's passionate.
This guy's passionate. He's passionate about helping other people. And he really believes in the product and the mentors that he's got. They've got the experience. And just like these, man, I tell you what, you've got some experiences you've shared and you've been down the road.
Yes.
And that matters.
There's a good quote, and I don't know who the author is. I'm sure you could Google it, but what would you attempt to do if you knew you wouldn't fail? Truly think about that.
Yeah.
All else, wherever you're at in your career, your relationships, whatever, everybody is different. Nobody is going to be like a Philip. Nobody's like a Shane. Ain't nobody like me. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got a gift. And I go back to that quote. What would you attempt to do if you knew you wouldn't fail?
Man.
I mean, when you think about it, that is powerful stuff. Sure. And I say, go for it. And that's why I do what I do. I get into the details with my people that I mentor because I know everybody's got a gift. It's just not everybody wants to pull it out of them. Well, I do.
Well, if that's you, if that speaks to you, look in the description. We'll get you in touch with Tyler. We appreciate that. And we got a little bit, just a couple more little things before we sign off today. So the number one, country cursive. So we're going to go with country cursive real quick. We mentioned this and we had a word, you know, we did an episode where we had three words. We had a couple of more.
Yonder. I don't know if we did yonder, but
well, that's the one for today.
Yonder is
the word for today. So what is that? That's a place somewhere else.
Yonder.
Over yonder.
Up yonder. Mm-hmm. Down yonder.
Down yonder.
Round yonder.
And funny, so you're speaking right to it. So we have, country cursive, we started a little line. So as you can see, this hat, country cursive, he's got one of the hats on. We had Scott and the team of Precision Graphics print us up some shirts and they're for sale. So what is country cursive though? It's our story language.
That's it.
So here at the Hayden Outbound Podcast, we tell stories. How do we tell them? We tell them in country cursive.
Absolutely.
I love it, man.
So if you want to go check those out, I'll put a link to that in the description. You'll be able to get to those through HaydenAlabamaPodcast.com. And the first shirt that we did, besides the logo, was yonder. And so it has the word yonder. And then all the prepositions, up, over, around, yonder. So if that speaks to you, we'll have that in there. For you guys to check out. Tyler, we appreciate you. And
the way from Flagstaff. Oh, I keep saying Flagstaff. Phoenix, Scottsdale. Somewhere over in Arizona.
Flagstaff is the snow thing. Because remember, I told him that he was lying because he said there's no snow in Arizona.
Arizona? Snow? Yeah, well, it's northern Arizona. You know, Flagstaff.
I don't know. That's why I said there's no snow in Arizona. Just cactus, I thought it was all man. Desert. But anyway. Well, that's it for the Hayden Outbound Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
And I'm Tyler.
We'll see you guys next time.